All right, next we up, we have Mark Harmon, and he's with Joplin Regional Stockyards out of Carthage, Missouri.
See if I can get this hooked up here.
How's that work? Can you hear it all right?
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I'd like to thank Clay and Renee and everybody for having us in, and Todd and Jennifer putting on their presentations. I'm from the Midwest. I work for Jackie Moore and Steve Owens. They own the facility I work at. And we have a pretty big family there. It's nice. It's kind of Jeffersonville. It's family owned. And I think that means quite a bit to a lot of people. I'm just going to hit on some highlights of things we do. We are totally 100% producer driven. That's what feeds us. We don't think any other way. You know, we were in the town of Joplin for a lot of years. We came out on the interstate. We built this new facility. We'll sell right at a half a million cattle a year, but we built this location on 20-by-6-foot trailers. I mean, we sell lots of strings of yearlings and a lot of big drafts of cattle, but we built this thing on small producers. And because you know the way we look at it, the people in our area, I mean, that pays their taxes, that pays their tithing at church, it feeds their kids, and it does all that stuff. If you ever lose sight of that, you'll never stay in business very long. So here we go. Our facility has excess of 300,000 square foot under one roof. I've got 23 outside traps for a capacity of 7,000 head inside and out before I ever start the sale. So, you know, we're sitting on, in my trade area, we're sitting on about 3 million cattle. You know, I have a very good selection where I'm at. We got in-ring scales like most folks, so you can weigh up to a half load at a time. We have got 23 alleyways that flow directly into the sale. I can load about 1,500 to 2,000 head of cattle before the sale ever starts. We're set up to a lot of our... Oh, this time of year, our sales, we'll start the sales at 6 in the morning. And buyers like to come in from the west on Sunday night. They just soon get started. Steve and Jack and Bruce all night, we'll show up there about 3 o'clock in the morning, start getting everything sorted out. We'll make our first download about 4. Got about, it'll be about 10 or 12 guys to help come in and do the sorting, bring in a few horseback riders. We'll get it set up. We'll all go in about 5:30, eat breakfast. Then we're set up. We'll start off. We'll run about 250, 300 head an hour. By 10 o'clock, we're pushing about 750, and by noon, we're peaking out at about 1,000 or 1,200 an hour, and it just goes right back the other way. The back side of it's all done on horseback. We try to do as much as, I mean, most of us are getting too old to walk too far anymore. I noticed everybody at our place went from cowboy boots to those nice, comfortable rope and little boots that have lace-ups. We offer a co-mingling thing for our producers. It's in the back. We do this. Our feeder sale's on Monday. We do this on Sunday. People can bring in their cattle. They can, let me back up there real quick. We'll run them right through here. These cattle, we catch their hip height, their sex, their gender. The only thing you can't tell you if it's a yearling or a calf. So, you know, it takes about 12 guys to run this deal. On a good Monday, we had about 3,000 head overnight last Sunday. We commingled about 470 head for probably 90 owners. So it gives them a chance to get into bigger drafts. It takes us about 30 minutes to sell those, where any other time that'd take 4 or 5 hours. Our primary market job consists of 33 counties in Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. In this market, there are around 2.1 million total head of cattle, with about a million of them being brood cows. On a normal feeder sale day, we'll have approximately 500 consigners with an average of 12 head. You know, I'd say we've got about 20,000 customers. I'd say 62 or 3% of those have less, 60 cows or less. There's about probably 10% that have, or I'd say 15% that have from 100 to 200 cows, and the top end of those guys will have from 500 cows to 1,500. Of course, I said this earlier, in 2005, we excess 455,000 head, and we're about 450,000 on the last 5 years on the average. You know, agriculture's future will be driven by fast changes in technology. Anybody that knows that is doing much amount of business. There's just things It's not the same sale barn it used to be. I remember when Jack and I and Steve were young, they'd hold in calendar, we'd cram in things in the ring, there'd be a few bad toes on there, a few bad eyes, you know, we'd spin them around, and we were headed to the next rodeo. You know, Steve's family, they enjoy golf. You know, Jack and I's kids were in high school rodeo, and we just never thought about it any different. But we got to seeing where early from October, November, December, the northern guys were going to the Big Sky Country to buy their cattle, you know, because we didn't have any health programs. Well, they'd come back to our place in January after all the, you know, all the sickens are on the bone pile. They didn't have to worry about it. Them things being raised on spring water and fescue, and those stomachs were like mine. They stretched out pretty hard, and they could eat about anything. They weren't going to die. So that's the show back here in January, and, you know, we'd always have a good market. But back in 1996, Pfizer came to us. Ed Carter's my senior territorial manager, and started talking to us about preconditioned calves and value-added sales. And, you know, we had built that facility. We were just trying to make some money. We were just trying to pay some of the bills. And Ed just kept hounding Jack and Steve that, you know, you need to do this. And a couple of guys from Continental Grain flew in there, and I'd never even seen a laptop or a printer that worked off a laptop at that time. And this guy sat down and started running the numbers on our sale barn and showed us the last 3 years of that. And he says, if you don't do this, he says, I'm not coming back. So Jack just jumps up out of his chair and says, we're doing it. And the rest of it's history. You know, that's how it started, just that day. You know, we knew we had to do something to get them cattle we normally sell in October when the guys in the north don't want any of the cattle. The guys out west are waiting on the wheat to grow. We had to get some value in there, get them cattle weaned to look at that. So that's how it kind of started. You know, we run 65 field men in our trade area, and that gives us a pretty good contact. You know, we're big on networking. You know, everybody's got a friend that's got some cattle, and, you know, you might not get along with him, but he does. And, you know, they'll keep bringing them cattle to you. But it's, you know, Pfizer did a great job for us, and we've really expanded off of that, you know. Let me just tell you a couple other things here as we get along. You'll need a partner of partners who'll be willing to stay on the cutting edge to meet your marketing needs. About four years ago, we put together a program on this ID thing. We kind of did our own deal in our area. We made our own EID thing. I guess that's how you'd explain it. I'm not very good at that. But, you know, we partnered up with about 20 pharmaceutical feed companies. Anybody that was in this thing, we brought them all together to absorb all their knowledge and put these sales on. And that's how we made it work. You know, everybody donated a certain amount. We took that money. We used it for marketing and different kinds of research. And it really paid off. You know, of course, he said earlier, you know, we were the first sale barn in the United States to get a QSA program under the state of Missouri umbrella. And whether it be for the export to Japan, that's been a hard case. You know, there's these cattle getting exported to other places. You know, the USDA made it voluntary on this animal ID. I'm probably glad about that. I don't have to fight with all the guys that didn't like it. And that's all right. You know, everybody's got their own deal. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I always worry about my competitor up the road getting cattle off of me. And Jack and Steve told me one day, they said, Mark, it's like buying a bicycle at Walmart. All you got to do is learn how to ride it better than the other guy, and they'll come to you. And there's a lot of truth to that. But, you know, I think as we move along here, the enhancement's still going to be there for people that are forward-thinking. There's people that are looking for these agent source and verified cattle. And as we move along, I'm more worried about the consumer. You know, the people in here aren't the people. How many people have a deep freeze? Raise your hand. See, you don't even need me. You got your own deal. You know, I'm worried about that customer out there that he's college educated. She is here. Maybe she's lucky enough to be a stay-at-home mom. They might not own a car. They sure don't own a propane tank, a weed eater, you know, a riding lawnmower, or a deep freeze. But they got one thing that we got one thing they like. And that's beef. They want it to be wholesome. They want it to taste good. They want to make sure when their mother-in-law comes over, she's happy for what she gets. They want to make sure it's good for their kids. That's something that we got to think about. Looks like I'll try to stay on track here a little bit. Sorry. In June 2006, we began utilizing the service of Ag InfoLink, who is our data trustee. We work all that through all these cattle we sell. The companies that get them, they have to, if they want the age and source of them, they have to read the ear tags. They dump them on a website that we have to secure, to a secure password. It brings up all the information they need. There's no producer information, password whatsoever. It's a way, you know, anybody that buys an age and source calf at our facility has to read the tag at the feed yard. Because I don't know what's got on or off that truck between Joplin and Dighton, Kansas, or Dodge, or any place. So they have to read them. They go right online themselves, dump them in there, and it brings up all the information they need. Just a few things we do. We do the commingled cattle sales. We talked about that. We do the internet viewing. We're broadcast live on DV Auction. We also do video sales similar to what Superior would do. We do it in our own trade area. That's brought us a tremendous amount of extra business. And we do the value-added sales. The value-added sales are ran from usually the first ones in late October. We'll have two in October, three in December, two in January, two in February, one in March, and one in April. Then we'll have the big one in the June special. From June of 1999 to March 2004, I sold over 600,000 value-added calves at our location. From June 2004 to 2005, I had 150,000 that were sold with installation of RFID tags, and a necessity ID tag is required in my program, plus a premise number. You know, under my umbrella, that's part of the requirement. The number of value-added calves will continue to grow with agent source and process verification becoming more vital to the producer and the buyer. You know, it's just like the folks sitting in here. You don't mind paying $35,000 for that new truck, but when you get it down the road 10 miles, you don't want the left front tire falling off of it. You know, you want to know where it comes from. You want to know a little bit about it. You want to feel comfortable with what you're doing. That's just a picture of our tag. I don't really have a lot left. I just got a little thought here for something for you to think about, a couple of deals. Have you ever noticed anybody going slower than you is an idiot? Anyone going faster is a maniac. But here's what really matters right here. You know, I stepped in the Alliance thing today, and those folks were talking about genetics and what people are like. And, you know, my wife's a kindergarten teacher, and I try to get out to dinner one or two nights a week with her. If that steak's really good and tasty, I don't really care what it costs. I mean, she probably deserves it. But now I'm telling you, if that thing's a little bit tough, I'll be right back there in the kitchen. And Clay's no mean, and so it's this guy right here. I'm just that way. You know, I make a good living. Jack and see, I've been there for 28 years. They're really good to me. But you know what I'm saying? Our consistency, we have a little problem with it. A little bit of problem. I think I might have one. This is a little thing I put in there about beef. It's what's for dinner. But just remember this right here, no matter how you do your business or what you're looking at down the road, I think this is something that you really need to keep in mind. If you don't measure it, have it identified, you cannot manage it. It's impossible. Sounds like the windmill's going right behind me here. It's not always the price per pound, but it's the amount of the check. Sometimes that's what my banker cares about. The guys at the coffee shop care about what the price per pound was, but the banker wants to know how much the check is.